Thank you for joining us as we discover together how to empower our hearts for extraordinary living. I'm Jackie Woods, here with my son and co-host Russell Woods, bringing you Heart Matters Radio, streaming to you live from the JackieWoods.org website. Each week at 3 Eastern Time, we take an inward journey to explore the heart energies that make up our internal essence. By doing that, we can learn who we are, we can live from the inside out, and we can claim control over our choices and over our creations. We become the creator of our lives. So each week we talk about a different heart energy, which are the qualities, the energetic qualities that make up who you are. They form the thinking, the feeling, and motivate the action in all of your life. Now, they're there. You may not acknowledge them, and you may let other patterns that sort of dwindle them down to no power come in and replace that thinking, that feeling, and that action. Or you can acknowledge them fully, let the heart speak, let it feel, and let it act in your life. Then you are truly creating from a powerful source. It's your choice. It's your choice. We're simply here to help you get to know who you are as that internal spiritual essence, so that that energetic part of you can have a creative power in your life. Each week, we will email you the heart energy we're going to talk about. All you have to do is sign up for it, and it will come on Saturday morning. You can meditate with us. You can think about it. You can be prepared to join us, because we really do welcome your questions and your comments. And we want you to be a part of our show, because by being a part of our show, you energetically get to be a part of our lives. So join us. Today, the heart energy is humility. And with each email you get with the name of the heart energy, there's a little quote. Just to get you thinking, just to get you focused. Humility dismantles the ego pedestal. So we need to think, if we're thinking about humility dismounting the ego pedestal, what is the ego pedestal? So I have a take on that. Russell, do you have a take? Do you want to start with that, or do you want me to start with that?
Yeah, I'll give that a try. I had a story come to mind when I thought about humility that I hope sort of explains that idea. When I was playing in a band in Atlanta during college, I guess it was, first couple of years of college, there was a radio station, the call letters, but it was Album 88, 88.5. It was the Georgia State College radio station, and had a huge 100,000-watt transmitter that played all the underground music, all the stuff that you couldn't get on commercial radio. And anybody who was in a band in Atlanta listened to it. We all loved it. It was our, mecca. And they had a contest, best unsigned band contest, and you were supposed to submit a demo tape with one song on it, and they would play them all, and everybody would vote, and, it'd be a big boost to the popularity of whoever won. They would probably get a recording contract or something out of it with all that attention. And so we were all about that. Oh, yeah, we got to win that contest. We got to win that contest. So we booked some studio time, and we found our best song, and we worked on it, exclusively, played the same song over and over again 100 times, working out all the kinks, spent days in the studio crafting it just perfectly, submitted the tape, and, a week later or whatever, they got played on the radio, and they did just like a marathon weekend where they played every song they had received back to back, and it was like 2.5 days worth of songs. And we were listening for our song. They told us it would be sometime on Saturday. And so we were listening, and Saturday afternoon, at about 3 o'clock, it comes on. And we're like, that's our song. That's our song on the radio. Oh, yes. And we listened to it, and we thought, that was the greatest song we've heard all weekend. That was just awesome. None of those other songs even compare. Do you think they can? No, of course they don't. And we're just, you know, building each other up, talking about how great it was. And they did a little commercial break. They came right back, and they played the song by the band that eventually won it.
Oh, no.
Right after ours. It was a band called Holly Faith, and I don't think they ever got a major label contract, but they were really big in Atlanta for a while, and this was the thing that kicked their success off, and it was well-deserved because it was perhaps the best crafted song I've ever heard. It was a magnificent song. And we listened to that right after we had been so high on our song being the best. We listened to that, and we were humbled. Not humiliated, though. Humbled. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is the difference. When your ego pedestal gets dismantled, you're humbled but not humiliated.
Yeah.
That you listened to their song in comparison to ours, and you thought, you know what? That's inspiring. I want to be just like that. They've shown me how far you can push it, because they had taken the same energy we had and polished it up without losing any of the snap. It wasn't limp celery. It still had a fire in it, but they had polished it and they had pushed the boundaries. They were out there with their emotions, and it was just raw without being sappy or maudlin. They had done everything we wanted to do and taken it a little bit further. And we were we felt small but inspired at the same time.
That's good. That's good. That kind of reminds me of the picture I got when I was meditating. And for you that are new to us, we meditate on these energies, and that means getting all of the parts of you quiet, your physical body relaxed, your mind quiet, your emotions quiet, and letting just your heart speak. Sometimes your heart speaks to you in thoughts, but if you're connecting with the male and female in you, your right and left brain both will be active. And if they're not, we'll give you ideas of how you can help make that happen. But the right brain picture came to me. Sometimes I get words, sometimes the right brain. But the right brain picture came to me, and I was kneeling at an altar. It looked like a church or something. It was an altar, and there were candles, you know, candelabras. But there was this picture on one side that was an angel. On the other side was a picture of the devil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So here I was with the angel and devil, me in the middle, in the center, between the two. And when I and feeling connected all the way up to the higher realms, and so it was that feeling of being centered with all that is.
Uh-huh.
That made me realize that I was just one piece of all that is, but I had to be careful because there was the good and the bad on each side that could pull me off center, and that's when the ego takes over, when you're either feeling better than or less than. And I liked in your story you didn't feel less than, you just felt that you were inspired.
Mm-hmm.
When we realize that we're part of all that is, and somebody has a bigger energy than us, then they inspire us.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of make us feel less. And if we have a bigger energy than somebody else, we don't have to go around gloating and feeling better than, but to know that we are humbled to be able to be the inspiration. I loved your story. That was very good. And my picture just fits with that 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that picture. Mm-hmm. My picture was a little different. Would you like me to share it, or do you want to expound on yours a little bit?
No, go ahead.
More? Mine was a nutcracker, not the you know, soldier looking thing, but just like a little pair of metal pliers. We always used to have one that would be out in our house around Christmas. I think a lot of people have that tradition where they bring a bowl of nuts or something out at the holidays, and we had the whole little nutcracker set with the metal cracking tool and then some little picks and things that you could dig nuts out of their shells with. We'd always have a bowl of mixed nuts out at Christmas, walnuts and hazelnuts and almonds and stuff. And I got a picture of taking like an almond or a walnut and putting it in that metal vise and just cracking it open. And it didn't make sense to me at first, really, in the left brain sort of way. It was just a vivid right brain picture. But the more I worked with it, the more I saw that that fit exactly with that story, is that the good part of the nut, the part that's good to eat, the part that will eventually become a tree, is sort of trapped inside that shell. And for it to do its thing, either feed you or grow a tree, it has to get out of the shell. The shell either has to rot or it has to be cracked open. And I think that's what our ego does. It sort of becomes a shell that we think protects us, but really just keeps us trapped. And humility comes along and cracks us out of that shell so that we feel a little more vulnerable, but now we're actually free to do what we're supposed to do. You know, whether that's grow into a tree or, you know, be part of some dish or whatever.
You know, we let our minds go and we think back when we have experienced these energies, which helps to build our awareness of it too. And, you know, I was thinking back, there was a woman in my past that I taught school with, and when she first walked into my room, she had a very, 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 very round face, sort of like a big plate with small features that they didn't go together. My first thought was a very much an ego thought. It was that devil over there saying, you know, you're better than that, Jackie. Uh-huh. Because even though I have had a hard time feeling inspired by other people's beauty and not compared to it many times, I have certainly not been one to try to feel better than.
Right.
And usually because beauty has been one I've really had to claim in this life. And we all have our own energy of beauty. Well, I didn't see hers at first. All I saw was this very big round face with these tiny little features.
Uh-huh.
And my first thought was, that's the ugliest woman I've ever seen.
Uh-huh.
And then I was instantly guilty and ashamed of that, but that was the first thing that I thought. But I got to know this woman. I have never known anybody with more creativity, with more generosity, with more kindness, with more support. So as I got to know her, I began to feel the other side of that. I began to feel like, well, there's no way I can give equal to what that woman gives to me. She is so generous, and she is so supportive, and she is so creative. She could do anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, she did all kinds of handwork, and, you know, that's always a big one for me, because when I was very young, my mother sent me to my grandmother to learn how to crochet, because I wanted to learn to crochet. And after about 15 minutes, she said, oh, Jackie, you just do not have the gift. So here, this woman could do all this handwork, and she, pretty soon, instead of feeling better than, I began to feel less than. But eventually I came to realize that there were, because she was very big on compliments, uh-huh, and grateful. She had a lot of that too. And she began to tell me what she appreciated about me, and I could then return and say what I appreciated about her. And we got to that place of, I got to that place of feeling that I could be an inspiration and be inspired, uh-huh, by this woman, and that she was part of something that was bigger that I also was a part of, and I was something bigger that she was a part of. So, you know, it was a very humbling experience and a very expanding one all at the same time. Humbling in the sense that I finally got to that place of realizing that, wait a minute, it's not a comparison game here.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that. And then there was the other story that I thought about, you know. Your favorite book when you were a little boy was Charlotte's Web.
Mm-hmm.
And your father read it to you. And then later the movie came out and we went to the movie. And so when my grandchildren came along, I had to get that movie to play it in our house here for them over and over again about Charlotte's Web. But mm-hmm, I had played it the first time. And if you remember, Wilbur the pig had Charlotte, the spider, write things about him so they wouldn't kill him.
Right.
And one of the things she wrote like he was, what were some of them?
Some pig.
Some pig, yes, and terrific. And one of the things was humble.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, there's Wilbur is big symbol of humility. But I couldn't decide whether I wanted to focus on this woman or Wilbur or Terry.
Our sound engineer? Yeah. Well, I can see that. She is humble.
Oh, radiant was another thing that the spider wrote about Wilbur the pig. Uh-huh. And since all those words just made me think about Terry, I just, you know, I just kept thinking of Terry and Wilbur the pig.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I can see the association.
Oh, goodness. Terry's a good sport. We tease her a lot. She's a really good sport. Okay, so let's see. Where are we now that I got all sidetracked? I think we need to mention, we always try to mention something that will help people to expand an energy. And since humility is very important, because we really do get into this better than less than thing comparison, mm-hmm. so that even our good qualities become ego pedestals instead of inspirations for the world. Because it takes us away from feeling part of that whole. My image of me meditating at that altar made me feel all that oneness of all that we are and how we work together. That's what meditation does for me. But it's so easy to get on that ego pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And humility does dismantle it. So it's incredibly important that we talk about how we could grow it. And I think you mentioned before we started that our workshop, Evolution of Souls, that's a rather new workshop. So if you've checked out our CDs before, our growth resources, go check them out now because that's just come out. It is on the website, isn't it, Terry? Yes, it is. Okay. So check it out, Evolution of Souls. These workshops... not only give you good information, but they give you the insight from a whole group of people that are in the recording room.
Mm-hmm.
And they're there in 5 CDs, so you can take it little bit at a time, and it can go on for weeks of listening and re-listening. But they're worth the price you're going to pay. It's a very small price for something so big. And humility is essential to get away from the programming that most of us grew up with.
Yeah.
We have an email from Julie at Lake Lure. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Julie.
She says, I find it difficult to love the hard energy of humility. When I crave outward recognition for worth and acceptance, how can I love it? Says, P.S., Mike and I thank you for your support in this show. Do you want to start on that, Russell, or do you want me to?
Read it to me again.
All right. I find it difficult to love the hard energy of humility because I crave that outward recognition for worth and acceptance.
Yeah.
That's that comparison thing that gets us on that ego pedestal all the time. You know, we crave it. Different people crave different things, but that recognition, that worth, that acceptance, that outside stuff, it's what really does throw us onto that ego pedestal, because we're no longer being inspired by somebody who's bigger or feel we are an inspiration. We are instead either better than or less than.
The thing that immediately jumps to my mind is when I was... right before I got married, we lived in a big house in the outskirts of Decatur in Georgia. And a friend of ours, who we had known from our teaching days, was going to law school at Emory, and he asked if he could move into one of the spare bedrooms and room with us. And we said, sure, sure. So he came to live with us, and the first weekend, I was kind of showing him around Atlanta, and he said, can you take me to the Carter Center? Jimmy Carter, the former president, has a library and a foundation in Atlanta where he still does a lot of humanitarian work. And I said, sure, I can show you around. He said, no, I have an appointment there. My mother was the college roommate of Rosalind Carter, and she's pretty sure that she can hook me up with an internship there at the Carter Center. It'll be real good for my law school resume. I said, oh, okay, yeah, sure. So I take him over there, and they take us back to Rosalind Carter's office, and we got to meet her. And I'm just tagging along. I'm John's ride, and he's being glad-handled. And, oh, you're, you know, so-and-so's boy. It's good to see you. And she's showing us around personally. And we get to Jimmy Carter's office, and he was out and about, I mean, in foreign country or something at the time. But she showed us his office. This is his private office. This man was president of the United States, still a very powerful figure, recognized all over the world. He's got this really nice, opulent office, big desk, pictures of every famous person in the world on the wall, thousands of books. And right behind his desk on the shelf is a 1972 Radio Shack stereo system that I'm sure he's had since he was in college or something. You know, it cost $50 at the time. And I looked at that, and I realized, you know, he could have any stereo system that he wanted in the world. Expensive ones, impressive ones. He had this one because it had been with him for a long time. It still worked. It did the job. That's all he cared about. And I've sort of tried to apply that to myself whenever I get in a place where I'm having trouble loving humility and wanting to be humble and not be recognized. I say, are the words you're saying, are the clothes you're buying, are the choices you're making, are they there because they fit you, or are you trying to impress somebody?
You know, the recognition, if we're truly being who, you know, who we are in our heart and real with that, that outside recognition may actually react against it. If the person's being heartfelt, they'll resonate with you, but they may react because they may get into the competition stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They may be jealous of you or resent you or whatever. And so, you know, we have to be careful to stay in that humility thing. I'm saying we usually think mostly feeling less than or better than. But if they're in that too, we have to be careful that we don't let their reaction pull us into reaction and pull us out of that center place at the altar that I saw in my picture.
Right, right.
That humility, we can't let anything in the outside pull us off. Nothing in the outside pull us off. You know, this woman that came into my room that day, that was that teacher that I came to really, really, really appreciate a lot, but didn't the first time I met her. I don't know what my reaction was. I don't even remember. I'm sure I was polite, but, you know, even if a person's saying polite words, you feel what's really coming from them.
Right.
She didn't react to that. You know, I didn't react, I'm sure, with a lot of enthusiasm or appreciation because I was in a, quote, negative place.
Uh-huh.
So we really have to focus on who am I? Who am I in this moment? And if we see who we are in that moment, we're not going to want anything from the outside. And if the outside goes into their ego space, it won't pull us off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we have another email. This is from Cheryl. Hi, Cheryl. I love it when we have regular people that check in with us. Thank you for that. Said, I'll miss listening to the show live today, but wanted to share my meditation picture. It was a big billboard sign that stated room to grow, just like the furniture store rooms to go. One of my clearest messages yet. Trust me. I'll review this archive show ASAP, as I know I need to grow more of this heart energy. Love, Cheryl. Room to grow.
I like that.
I like that too. That is thank you, Cheryl. That was a great picture. That was really good. And we have Bill from Orlando. Thank you, Bill. I don't feel like I have a huge ego yet. I work with brilliant engineers who have enormous egos because they are so smart. I dream of sabotaging their projects to humble them. How can I feel okay around huge ego people? Well, you know, that is a problem, but since ego is really not built on anything real, most egos are really fear-based.
Yeah.
And I remember one time I was at a party and this woman was trying to impress those of us sitting around the table with what an important job she had. And she was telling us all the things she was responsible for and all the things she had to do. And I was trying to figure out, well, what is the title of her job anyway? I mean, this is a lot of different things. And she went on and dominated the conversation for, it seemed like hours, but I'm sure it was about 15 minutes. But it went on and on and on, and finally she pulled out her keychain and said, "See, I even have keys to all the offices." And I said, "Oh, I get it. You're the janitor." Oh, Lord, she gave me a look. She was not a happy camper, because to her, she was really trying to impress, and being the janitor to her didn't seem impressive. Well, I think being a janitor is a pretty cool job, actually, but if you're being real in it. However, when we really are trying to impress somebody else, most of the time we're really not.
Mm-hmm.
We really are not. And if we are being impressed by somebody, then we have a fear that's in the way.
Yeah.
Do you want to add to that, Russell?
I would totally agree with that. The person who, to me, most represents humility is a man that I worked with after college. I was in the copy shop on campus at the university where I went to school. And even after I graduated, I stayed there for a couple of years. And this man was there going to school. He was just finishing up his PhD. His family had escaped from Serbia and, you know, war-torn country, come to America with nothing. He had had to learn the language. He was an accomplished painter and musician, was a very spiritual man, had gone to seminary and become a pastor in a church, and then got tired of the rigidity of his religion and studied Native American religions, and then got a doctorate in comparative spirituality. He could play just about any instrument. He could draw freehand. He could fix cars. He could do all sorts of things with his hands. Incredibly kind, talented man, could speak several languages, and working in a copy shop, not even the top dog. You know, he answered to me for a good part of his job, and I'm a 24-year-old kid or something at that point. He always made me and everybody else around him feel valuable. He had all these skills. And he didn't, you know, act like that was nothing. He didn't go around saying, I'm nothing at all. But he went out of his way to focus on, well, what do you have that you can teach me? Because I really would like to learn from you. You know, he was all about finding people's strengths and highlighting them and learning from that person. Never look at me, look how great I am, I'm better than you. And to me, that is the soul of humility. If you are focused on trying to highlight the gifts of the people around you, then you truly have humility.
It reminds me of when you were little, a young 8 to 12, somewhere in there, we went to a church. It was a very liberal, open church. And one of the ministers had this same gift you're talking about, in that he seemed to be able to pull out the gifts of people. And here you were, this young boy, and he found a play, but he could tell that your gift, because you've got this photographic memory thing going on where you don't forget anything, and you were very confident and outgoing young boy, and I had not even recognized what a good actor you would be. And he put you in this play. the only kid with a whole bunch of adults in the play. And I thought, wow, he's recognizing your gifts, and each person he picked, he found their gifts. And mm-hmm. That is a wonderful way to get out of just trying to be something for the other person, but to see what they are as part of what they have to offer you. Then your offering to them won't come from an ego better place either.
Yeah. And I've always tried to take that with me. And when I find people with big puffed up inflated egos, instead of focusing on the thing that they want me to focus on, which is usually something they're trying to make seem bigger than it is, I just find some real piece of them that I think is a gift, and I focus on that, and I try and interact with that, and I get excited about that. I say, look at this gift you've got. I'm not even going to mention the thing you think is so big that you want to shove in my face, but look at this other thing you've got. That's mm-hmm. a real gift.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I want to take a minute to acknowledge the BountifulBuys.com as our sponsor. It's a place where you can go green online. You can reduce consumption by exploring a gently used boutique, because BountifulBuys.com has clothes, accessories, gifts, books that all go easy on the planet and easy on your wallet. So check it out, BountifulBuys.com. And remember, by shopping with our sponsors and supporting them, they support us, and we are trying to support you. So what goes around comes around. BountifulBuys.com. We have another email from Tiffany in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you for such a great show. I was excited to see the heart energy of humility this week. I love this energy. It feels like I am standing in the presence of God. I feel majestic. I feel majesty and awe. I feel reverence and appreciation. I just wanted to share what it means to me. It sounds like her feeling around that is very similar to my picture. Mm-hmm. There I was at the altar feeling that total connection. But there were those pictures on each side that could pull me to the angel of feeling better or the devil of feeling less than.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Do you want to add anything to that, Russell?
No, I love that description. There is a lot of awe and majesty and humility. It's a wonderful, wonderful energy. It gets bad press, you know. We think that humble is something that other people do when they're really great and they're trying not to show it. But if you're just an ordinary person, you know, there's no reason to be humble because you don't have any great gift that you're trying to suppress. Mm-hmm. And it's really not about that at all. It's, you know, like I said in my meditation with that walnut cracking open, it's just about getting rid of the defenses, getting down to the real part of you, which mm-hmm. is great even if it's average sized.
And we might talk, because to get to that reverence and appreciation of others, of all of life that you're a part of, we all have those fear parts that Julie talked about. We all have those.
Uh-huh.
We have those fears that they're not going to like us, and we have those fears that they won't appreciate what we've done, and that wanting from the outside. We all have those, and those are fears that come up because we've all had experiences where we have been really put down or really hurt or really feel like something valuable that we've offered has been just kicked aside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had those, and they've hurt us so badly that they create fears of us being hurt again.
Yeah.
It's that fear of being hurt that really gets in the way. But it's not that it's never going to come up. But if it comes up, acknowledge it, breathe it out, let it go, and say, I can have humility instead, mm-hmm. now that we have a bigger picture of humility. We have another email from Liz in Little Rock, Arkansas. I feel like humility is a saintly energy. I bet all the saints had much humility. Do you think that's true? Do you want to comment, or do you want me to?
Well, I think that most people who are saints or masters or, you know, highly evolved that have raised their vibration to the point where we know about them and think of them as a paragon of some sort of spiritual development. Those people are all really big in something. It may have been that they were big in obedience or understanding or love or something like that. And some of them may have been huge in humility. It may have been a small quality for some of them, but I think the bigger you get in any quality, the bigger your heart gets as a total package. And so the less likely you are to want to impress the outside world and perform for the outside world, and the more likely you are to want to listen to your heart and let your heart come out. So I think a certain bit of humility just naturally comes to you as your heart gets bigger.
I would agree with that, and I would say that you really can't let your heart get bigger unless you do have humility, in the sense that I see it, in that, you know, it was that feeling, kneeling, feeling a part of all of heaven and all of earth, mm-hmm. you know, like mm-hmm. feeling like the connector, feeling a part of all. As you begin to feel a part of all, you're able to see that whatever inspires you in someone else is really yours to claim.
Right.
They just give you a bigger picture. And whatever you inspire the other person, they're part of you too. And they're offering you something in exchange for what you have. And so that growth process happens because we begin to feel that humility, like we're seeing it as that feeling that there is, for my picture anyway, that there is no better than or less than.
Yeah.
It's that middle point. I do want to remind people that we have CDs available, a whole section of growth resources on our website. And, you know, these talks hopefully bring up some questions you have. And you can find, maybe you're too shy or feel like you don't want to ask questions, but you still hopefully have some questions come up that you need answers to. If you're afraid to ask on the show, just go to our growth resource section on the JackieWoods.org, and you can order the CDs that will help you. We have some that are just plain CDs that are Russ and I talking. We have workshop CDs where we have several people recording in addition to what we have to say. So check these out. And the one we suggested to go with humility was
Evolution of Souls.
Evolution of Souls. This is from Teresa in Asheville. Thank you, Teresa. I think humility is like an internal honesty. However, I think I cover up parts of myself I'm not proud of. How can I be okay with my skeletons in the closet? This is a great comment. We all have those parts because we're here growing. But, you know, hiding those parts from everybody else by covering them up with our good parts keeps them hidden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in being humble with those, other people get to shine their light on them, and they get to change and transform. So, you know, the skeletons in the closet have to come out.
Right.
And if we have humility, the more we practice it, the less we'll want to cover up those parts.
Yeah. For my baby step today, my suggestion of how somebody could really begin to take a little piece of this into their life, the first thing that came to me was to be of service. If your focus is to bring a piece of service, whether that's volunteering or joining in with your community or doing something that is of service and not just for personal gain, you automatically get focused on the gifts you can bring and the gifts that other people are bringing, and you care a lot less about what you can't do and where you feel small and inadequate. Those will come up, of course, but it's just an opportunity for somebody else to step into that space. And you don't care so much about where you feel small and where you feel big when all you really want to do is to be of the best possible service in the moment.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was talking to my husband about this possible baby step, and his suggestion, which I felt was a very good one, and it fits with what we've been saying today, is to try to really, really listen to the person beyond just the words that they're putting out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, to really, really try to listen. Sort of like the story of the guy you talked about, what was his nationality?
Serbian
guy that worked with you, how he seemed to see beyond whatever you were doing and saying and what you were putting out there.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, most people put out their best parts.
Right.
But he could go in and not only see it, and not see it to criticize it, but to see it, to bring it out, to praise it. So humility would be finding those pieces, those little gems in people that they keep hidden, because they may feel they're less than. Mm-hmm. They may feel they're small and try to put them in the closet, so to speak.
Yeah.
Because they're not big enough to come out. So finding those little small gems in people would be a way of not only bringing humility to your world around you, but it would, in your unconscious, empower that part of you that says, hey, my small parts are valuable too.
Yeah, see other people as diamond mines.
We have an email from Carl in Nyack, New York. Why do people take advantage of humble people? I think if I show people humility, they will manipulate me. How can I feel powerful and be humble? This is a very good point.
Uh-huh.
It's a very good point. Do you want to start with that, Russell?
You know, there's an old saying that it's really easy to confuse kindness with blindness. And I think the same is true, that we confuse humility with weakness, that if a person doesn't trumpet their own horn very loudly, it's probably because they're not good enough to trumpet it. And, you know, that sort of attitude makes you miss those gifts in other people. And if you're going to be humble, you can't think, I'm great, but I better not show it, because then I'll be an egomaniac.
Arrogant.
And you can't think, well, I'm nothing, but I better not, you know, say that, or people will think that I'm just a doormat. You can't secretly be in the better than or less than, and then be humble on the surface. You got to be humble all the way through, which means you don't see things as they're better than me, I better do what they say, or I'm better than them, I better take care of them. You don't see it that way. You see it as everybody's valuable in their own way. Let me find that valuable thing that this person has to offer. As I said, that guy William that I worked with, he made everybody around him feel more valuable. And he was an indispensable guy. We couldn't have gotten our job done without him. And he had so many skills. But I never thought of him as the most impressive guy in the office, because he was just making everybody around him seem valuable.
So that everyone became valuable. And that's a key point, that everyone becomes valuable. You know, my husband had to write a accept me letter into his internship.
Uh-huh.
And the first time he didn't play himself up enough, and the second letter he played himself up too much, and so we had to talk about, okay, you need to say why you're valuable to me,
uh-huh,
and why I can be valuable to you, not as a sales pitch.
Right.
Not as a sales pitch. That's what I'm hearing you say, that humility is not playing ourselves down, and I think so many people have seen that. It's certainly not the arrogant selling of yourself, but it's not playing yourself down. It's not that weakness point.
Exactly.
I do want to give a great big gratitude piece to all of our Twitter followers. I hear we're being retweeted during the show today, so thank you. Thank you to all of our Twitter followers. I really, really do appreciate it. This gets it out to offer to people what who we are so that they can share who they are. And that's that piece we're talking about. We all have contributions to make mm-hmm. to each other. And it's not about pretending like we don't have anything to offer. So if you haven't, if you're one of those regular listeners, and like Cheryl, she has to listen to the archives, and we have many, many more people listen to the archives than the show, of mm-hmm. course, because this is a weird
work time.
But if you're an archive listener and you listen all the time, please let us know. Just comment on the last show or let us know that you're listening. You know, let yourself be seen.
Uh-huh.
Because humility is not staying quiet or in the closet.
It's not about it being invisible.
No, it is not. Let yourself be seen. We have an email from Nashville, from Nancy in Nashville, Tennessee. Does everyone have access to all heart energies? Yes. A big yes. They may not all look the same because we're individual. It's like all those little individual snowflakes that you see and drew as cut out as pictures when you were a kid. You know, we all have every energy available to us. Some we have developed and grown more than others, but everyone has the potential for all of them to grow and be big. There are, I believe, in certain lifetimes that people, in certain circumstances, that people have the opportunity to grow one energy bigger than another.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone has them all available. And if you can just think of just any quality in your whole life, that is a heart energy.
Uh-huh. I think a lot of times people feel that they ought to have a bigger grasp on certain heart qualities, and they just think of it as like a shotgun blast. You know, I got to have everything. I remember you talking about your father one time, and after he died, he came to you and was dialoguing with you about your mother, and you realized that he had a tremendous piece of wisdom and was very highly developed psychically and spiritually, and was a very, you know, devout and clever man in his lifetime, but was not a big spiritualist. And you realized that that was a huge piece of him that he had not really brought into this lifetime because it would have detracted from his lesson. It was not here. It was not what he was here to work on. So he left that one in the garage, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that whatever you've got in your life right now, that's what you are supposed to be working on. And to just pick energies at random and say, oh, I'm not very big in that, shame on me, I better work on that, that's not really necessary. What you need to work on will come to you. It'll be part of whatever unfolds in your script. And you don't have to worry about, am I big in everything?
Yes, whatever you need to grow will mm-hmm. be made manifest to you. Whatever you need to bring will be manifest to you. What pulls us off of that center point is feeling inadequate or arrogant,
mm-hmm.
better than, less than. It's very, very, very important that we stay saying, whatever size I'm to bring right now, if it's small, it's needed in a small way, or I need to grow it. If it's big, it's needed in a big way, and other people will maybe grow from it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, but you know, I really find that people in being humble have a harder time. You know, we talked about Teresa's problem of the skeletons in the closet with the small energies. I think people have a harder time with their big energies feeling better than and arrogant
right.
than they do with the small ones. Feeling less than. Now, and not that you can't get there, but I think people tend to try to build themselves up, and that takes more away from humility than anything.
Yeah, and I think that's probably a reaction. They feel their ego tells them that they're inadequate around their small energies, so they keep those tucked away. And then the big energies, they say, well, I better put the spotlight on them all the time so nobody will ever notice the small ones. And so they just talk those up. Oh, look, I'm so big in this, so big in this. And they become arrogant around their big energies really just as a protection so that nobody ever brings up the subject of their small ones. Mm-hmm.
I was with a group of people recently, and I could just feel the judgment that a couple of the people had to the other couple of the people. I could just feel it. Not so much that it was said, I could just feel there was that judgment. And I don't think those people would have admitted to being arrogant in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But they certainly weren't humble. Now, they weren't trying to build themselves up, but there was just that silent judgment which took them out of that center point of humility.
Mm-hmm.
We have an email from Jean in Miami, Florida. The Desiderata says, do not compare yourself with others, for always there will be greater and lesser persons than you. Does this fit humility?
Yeah, I definitely think it does. You know, another one of my baby steps that I was going to bring up is, whenever possible, try and hang out with people who are big in a particular energy and see if you can't feel a part of them instead of better than or less than them.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a wonderful exercise. If you go to hear a really incredible violinist in concert, see if you can't feel your piece of music appreciation as being a part of his instead of less than his or something like that.
You know, I was making a big pot of soup today from our garden vegetables, and I was, of course, thinking on this energy as I was making the soup, it was a huge pot of soup. You know, it had all these vegetables in it and had some chicken broth and rice and a whole bunch of stuff. And yet I put a little bit of garlic.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking how much good this little bit of garlic does.
Yeah.
It didn't take a lot, just a little. So every piece that is needed, whether it's big or small, whether it's yours or theirs, is all perfect for that blend of soup right then.
Yeah.
Whatever that soup making is, it's perfect.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
I want us to acknowledge another sponsor, the Ottawahee Wellness Retreat. It's a place where you don't just get away from it all, but you go to get healthier. You go home being more, feeling better. The Ottawahee Wellness Retreat offers all the amenities of a bed and breakfast, plus access to a health food store, a fitness room, peaceful walking trails, and 10 alternative healers. This is where retreat becomes renewal. Check it out on Ottawahee.com, Adawehi, Ottawahee.com, and tell your friends about it so that they can come and have this kind of week retreat, weekend retreat, or just for a night. It will help.
Mm-hmm.
Ottawahee.com, Ottawahee.com. We have an email from Anthony in Richmond, Virginia. How much of our history was impacted by humble people? Seems like humankind has been most changed by persons with humility. You know, there's a lot in that statement.
That's true.
That is very, very true. If we really think about it, the greatest leaders cannot really be leaders of other people if they're looking down on their constituents.
Exactly.
They have to become one. You know, I think Jimmy Carter had a lot of that humility that you talked about. Yeah. Thank you, Anthony. That's something for us to really think about. Because even if we're not national leaders or historical leaders and to become historical leaders, most people have some position of leadership somewhere in their life. If it's just being a parent,
mm-hmm.
or even in your group of friends or at your job, it's very, very important that leadership can really only happen with humble people when you think about it.
Yeah, because even the most powerful person cannot get everything done by themselves. You have to mobilize other people to join you. And it's that humility that allows you to put your gifts out there so that people can connect to them, and also encourages you to find the value in other people and connect to that, both of which are necessary and vital for that coming together where one person is able to mobilize lots of people.
Mm-hmm. Recently, one of my students said that they wanted to learn how to be a leader from me. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, it's a simple formula. I bring what I can and am wise enough to know all that I can't, and I just get other people to help me.
There you go. Yes.
To feel like you have to be all of it is not only exhausting, but it takes away humility, it takes away growth, it takes away leadership.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I think this about wraps it up. Let me thank everybody for listening to us. Remember, all of our shows are archived, and you can listen to them anytime, but just because you're not listening while we're live, please let us know you're listening, what you appreciate, what you don't. We're open to criticism. What do you like? What do you don't like? Do we talk too much? Do we talk too little? Do we need to add things? Are we giving enough examples? Do we give you baby steps? Have you listened? Oh, this would be a good one. Have you listened to any of the growth resources we have commented on, and what have you gotten from them? I would love to hear back on that.
Mm-hmm.
So please do communicate with us. Thank you so much for listening, and remember to let your heart matter so that you can live from the inside out. Thank you.